Hanover Square Press and Harper Audio present Hangman by Jack Heath, performed by Christopher Ragland.
Chapter 1. The more of me you take, the more you leave behind. What am I? The blood is sticky and sour between my teeth.
You can't be here, sir, the FBI agent says, blocking the doorway. Move on.
I chew on my fingertip, tearing out another chunk of the nail. I work for you, I say. I'm a civilian consultant. The agent looks at my sneakers from Walmart, my stained jeans, my tattered sweater.
You got ID? She asks.
I left my credentials at home, expecting to know the agent on the door. Around here, people get shot just for saying the word cop. The house has green patches where the graffiti couldn't be scrubbed away. The letterbox is mangled from a baseball bat. A coyote-wolf hybrid, Kywolves they're called, limps around an overturned trash can up the street. His chewed-off foot would be in a bear trap somewhere. Some white teenagers in hoodies sip cheap beer nearby. Grinning like a jack-o'-lantern, one boy crushes his empty can and hurls it at the Kywolf, which leaps back. The kids cackle but keep their distance as the creature hobbles away between two crumbling fence palings. Footsteps from within the house. Raised voices. I need to be in there. Please, I say. The field office.
Unless you have ID, the agent says, you gotta leave.
The field office director called me. A few strands of hair come loose from her cap and fall into her eyes. She determinedly ignores them. She's black, about 5'8", same height as me, with no makeup and no wedding ring. Attractive in a tough, unsmiling sort of way. Her lanyard reads, Agent R. Thistle, Houston Field Office.
What's his name?
She asks.
The field office director.
Peter Luzon, I say. She looks me up and down again, reassessing. You want his social security number too? I ask.
You shouldn't know the director's social security number.
I shouldn't, but I do. I broke into his house and found it on his water bill. The trick to memorizing long numbers is to convert each digit into a consonant and then fill in the vowels with whatever makes a memorable image. The director's social security number, 404-625283, becomes RZRBNFNHS, which becomes Razorbone Funhouse. I remember it by picturing Peter Luzon shaving his cheeks with a straight razor until all his flesh is gone and the bone is exposed, and then calmly examining his handiwork in a funhouse mirror. I was kidding, I tell the FBI agent. There's no more nail or loose skin to chew on this finger. I start on my thumb. This compulsion permanently damages my cuticles and teeth and puts parasites in my mouth. But I can't stop. Another agent appears at the top of the stairs. He's a white, skinny smoker with the mashed-up ears people get from wrestling or boxing. His jacket is faded on the left side from hours of driving in the Texan sun. He's not wearing a lanyard, but I've met him before. His name is Gary Rucciani. The other agents call him Pope because he's Italian. Hey, Pope, I say. Let me in. The woman steps forward to obscure my view.
Sir?
Oh, Rucciani says as he trots down the stairs. It's you. Being remembered isn't usually a relief. Collins and Richmond are upstairs in the bedroom, he tells me. To Thistle, he says, let him through. Luzon must have given up. I get a faint whiff of Thistle's perfume as I push past. She shrinks away. There's a Greek myth about a guy who wanted to marry a Spartan princess, but was exiled to an island because his wounded foot got infected and started to stink. Eventually, the army came back for him because they realized they needed his poisoned arrows. He helped win the war. He was with them inside the wooden horse, but everyone still hated him. The way Rucciani avoids my gaze makes me feel like that guy. The floorboards squeak as I enter the kitchen, passing a leaning tower of grimy dishes. Oswald Collins vanished 8 days ago. His wife, Billy, apparently hasn't done any washing up.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?